bank and serial number.
Brad Blazing.
Brad Blazing.
Director of High Performance Computing at, well, now it's called Network Computing Services. At the time we ran this, it was called Minnesota Supercomputer Center.
Okay, okay.
And
now what is this that we're pointing at?
This is serial number Q2, Cray 2, one of three built.
Three were built, okay.
Q1, 2, and 3, and this is the only one that ever made it outside of Cray. Q1 was used for software development internally, and Q2 was never supposed to leave. We had a contract for them to deliver a pre-production Cray 2 before we got the real Cray 2.
Okay.
And there was some internal disagreement in Cray, but they finally said, I guess we have a contract to build it, so they built us one.
Wow.
And wow. Q3 was just used internally for, Q1 was used for software development.
For software development.
Inside of Mendota Heights. Q3 was just at Chippewa Falls just for module checkout and so forth.
So the Q series, if you could call it that, or...
I don't know how they put Q, it just...
Somebody told me it meant quadrant.
That could be. That could be, because, it was affectionately called the single quad.
The single quad, okay.
As opposed to the real Cray 2, which was another, basically about 290 degrees of arc.
Right.
And had four quadrants.
So was this a prototype? What was this?
This is basically a prototype, yeah.
It was a prototype.
Yeah. And that's why they didn't want to build one for a customer, even though the sales force had contracted with us to sell us one. So.
Oh, okay.
But we prevailed upon them, and we finally they delivered it in August or September of 85.
Okay, so it was prior to the Cray 2 shipping?
Yeah, the first Cray 2, 2001. Went to, okay, now I've got a name block, went to Magnetic Fusion Energy, Lawrence Livermore.
Livermore.
Yeah, and that was 2001, and...
That was the 2001 series, it was called?
Yeah, the 2000 series, so to speak, it went up to 2021.
Right.
I'm sorry, it went up to 2029. And 2002 went to NASA Ames.
Okay.
And 2003 we got.
With the full Lucite waterfall.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Is the waterfall with it?
Did this one have a waterfall?
Oh yeah.
It did.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It had a special sized waterfall. The one. Have you seen them? Have you seen them in
I've
pictures?
I've seen them in.
It was a staggered array of 1, 2, 1, 2 for a total of about 9 columns or so.
Mm-hmm.
This one had a specially small reservoir built sort of just for it. I think it had four columns. And a column is, it was, I don't know, about a foot diameter and probably 6 feet tall.
So that carried, what was the coolant that carried?
Fluorinert.
Fluorinert. And this one I noticed, and we'll go and see the Cray 1, which is around the corner, but everything is immersed in the fluorinert.
Yeah, it's a complete tank. And the bottom is the power supplies, and the top is all the modules. But it would—it was fed from the bottom, and when you pumped it from the reservoir, you could visibly see the level just come up the glass.
Okay.
like
a fish tank.
And bubble around in the top, and the power supplies ran warm enough that they would boil the fluorinert just a little bit.
Hmm.
So every once in a while, every 4 or 5 seconds, you could see a bubble wander on up.
That's interesting.
And it would promptly recondense at the top, but
so the main significance of this unit was to prove a whole different technology from the Cray 1 that would be used in the Cray 2.
Yeah, it was a lot more dense and therefore a lot more heat, so Seymour went to this liquid immersion cooling, and the columns would alternate. The fluorinert would come in one column,
mm-hmm.
flow across the module and then down the other.
Mm-hmm.
So each one column is pushing in and one column is sucking out. So.
Here, point to it and I'll get a picture of you pointing to the columns and then put along with the...
Yeah, no, the fluorinet would come up one column, go across, the modules, and then down another column. So. And this was the prototype method of delivering power. These push pin wires. They were pushed in with a kind of
Here's one come loose here.
Oh, I imagine so. Actually, that particular one, it looks like the pin has fallen off. If you pull those wires out, they're supposed to be about an inch long or so. The actual pin has fallen off that one. But there was a little torque tool that would push them into the power columns with just the right amount of force.
So these boards are really packed in there pretty densely.
Yeah, it was Seymour's first foray into a three-dimensional module.
Okay, so this came out later in the Cray 3.
Yeah, although there he did it a lot smaller, of course. But you can see the modules are about an inch thick or so.
They're about an inch. Look at that, they are.
Yeah, so it's eight. It's actually eight circuit boards.
Eight circuit boards.
With integrated circuits on them, but then there's little interconnects, they almost look like cordwood. There's probably like 100 in between each board, going between the boards.
Between the boards, so yeah. It is a yeah, true 3D.
And they had a special tool to pull the boards apart and push them back together. And we've got, they had an on-site tester, which you could take an individual module and put it in a little bath of flare inert and test it after it's been repaired. Poor things. Poor bolts are getting a little on the rusty side.
Yeah, someone told me that the rusty bolts indicate it's a prototype because Seymour always used stainless steel everywhere.
Yeah, we never had a bit of rust on when I was running on our place, but it's probably...
It's been in various locations and stored, and it's been here for a few years anyway.
How long have you had it?
Since 2002.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so 3 years here.
You don't have a flashlight, do you?
I can go get one.
Well, I guess you can't see anyway.
You want to look in with the...
Well, the real production modules had little... I guess these don't have them. Well, the real production modules had a little tab sticking out on which you could grab the module and pull it out. And on the tab was stamped what kind of module it is.
Okay.
And so you could tell which one's the, multiply unit, add unit, memory. Over half the machine is memory.
Over half of them is memory. Yeah.
This machine had, this particular prototype had 16 megawords of memory. And a word is 8 bytes, so.
Right.
8 times 16, so that's 128 megabytes in today's, my laptop's got 8 times that.
What did you use it for?
Well, we were running a service bureau, and we had bought a production Cray 2, but sort of couldn't afford it. And at least we couldn't afford the whole thing, so. We would sell some of the time back to Cray in return for a discount, and then we would run this system during those hours that Cray was using the full production size. Cray sold their first machine, their first Cray 2s. They sold the first three full production ones without having one themselves for software development.
Interesting.
So they kind of used time back a little bit, and we were running petroleum codes and. A lot of simulation codes, physics simulations, some computational chemistry codes for the University of Minnesota, and then some commercial customers. General Electric was using it.
You were based near the Twin Cities?
Yeah, we were. This system ran in two different locations: one, Lauderdale, which is a suburb of Minneapolis, and then Minneapolis proper. When we moved into our new building in '86, and this came with us.
It's actually portable, fairly portable. even today.
Yeah, well, we moved all our machines, but this is probably the easiest one to move.
Well, you may be pleased to know that Lawrence Livermore Labs, 2 years ago when they're having their open house, they were building a vintage computer room with a lot of old systems, and they came and they trucked this back. They trucked this up to Lawrence Livermore and put it there on display
Oh,
for
really?
a couple weeks.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice? And I guess they had a Cray too, but it was gone, and this is the closest thing you
Yeah,
can come to.
yeah. These black things here are what's called flow blocks, where they don't need a module.
Right.
You know, this I think this is the I/O section. You know, so you put in modules for different disk attachments, disk controllers, and so forth.
Okay.
So if you don't need a module, then they just put in this little
They put in
black
down
block
the right below the boards
to
here.
keep the learner flowing smoothly
Okay.
across. And this particular one, as I recall, had only four disk controllers, but for all I know, Seymour added a couple when he got it
So Seymour, you
older.
said, was using this himself at one point.
Yeah, he was using it. To my understanding, they used it for simulation work for the development of Cray 3.
Okay, wow. Wow, interesting.
And then he used it until his company kind of went bankrupt there in Boulder.
Right.
Cray Computer.
Cray Computer versus Cray Research.
Right.
Yeah.
And we actually tried to buy this thing back, but it had been sold at auction already. By the time.
Oh, this thing.
Yeah, just because we had kind of a fond. It
Yeah.
was our first. This is our first supercomputer that ran Unix. The one we had before this was a Cray 1, which we still have in our lobby.
In your lobby.
Yeah.
What do you think this kind of thing would sell for if you
Well, this is
It's hard to say.
I mean, you know, there is literally this is the only one.
Right.
The other two, I'm sure, have been scrapped, but internally by Cray.
Yeah, in fact,
So,
Jim Curry, the great Cray collector in Indiana, says this is the only example of
I'm
this.
sure it's the only one.
Yeah.
There was a 21 four-processor Cray 2s, which was a complete
Okay.
290 degrees of arc. And then there was one special one. They built an eight-processor, which was 290 degrees of arc.
Right.
But it was yet another foot taller.
Okay.
This was the exact height of the four processor one. It was just longer,
Just
just more
longer.
arc.
So it had the same modules and the same power supplies.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, they redesigned some stuff. They developed a couple new modules. They were going to build some eight processor systems, but that's when Seymour split off and they started working on the Cray 3. And so they sold one to. I think it was out at MFE, Magnetic Fusion Energy,
Right.
and then it went out to NCAR, I think, at Boulder. I have no idea where it is now, but
Yeah, not a lot of those survive. I mean, the one in your lobby, the Cray one, I think there were over 70 Cray ones made, but not very many survive. We've identified with maybe about 10.
Yeah. Well, we were running serial number after 2003, which we got the third one.
Right.
Then we traded it in for 2021, which was 2003 was a 256 megawatt memory system, which was enormous at the time compared to Cray 1s and so forth. And we traded it in for a 512 megawatt Cray 2 serial 2021. And we ran that until it was the last running Cray 2.
Wow, so you guys really
Which was in 99.
in 99.
Yeah. This one we ran from September of 85 until I think September of 88. And traded it in along with the serial number 2003.
So you traded it in to Cray, and then Cray kind of warehoused it and
Yeah, I think they used it for module checkout for a while and then Seymour took it out to Colorado with them.
Oh, he took it to Colorado when the company sort of split
Yeah,
in two.
yeah.
So this was part of what he took to Colorado.
Yep. These are the power supplies, of course, and they came in two different versions. They had a germanium and a silicon one, referring to the type of rectifiers that they used in them. And you put them in you put in various combinations of them depending upon what you've got in the,
sure,
column.
Yeah.
And this one's only got four columns, of course, but that was towards the end, that was the only item that would actually ever break from any time to time.
So it was a really robust machine.
Oh, yeah. And it was mainly because of the low junction temperature, because of the liquid immersion cooling. Everything was kept nice and cool.
If the for some reason the coolant wasn't there, I wonder how fast it would burn out.
Oh, very quickly.
Very quickly.
Within you know, a few dozen seconds. There was one thing that they had to take some care about, which was a burn. If you there was a tremendous amount of amperage. You know, each column was probably sucking down, 800 to 1,000 amps,
mm-hmm,
at 5 volt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a guess on my part. I don't exactly remember the numbers for posterity and
right.
future
for future
listeners.
For future listeners.
But if you get a little bit of a short, it would sustain an arc in there, and then it would burn the fluorinert. And overheating fluorinert with a burn caused it to mutate into a poisonous chemical.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh.
So they made a provision in the columns, in the cooling columns, which aren't here, to take the vapor and exhaust it outside.
Right.
And in the case of a burn. So, but fortunately, we never had a burn on this machine. We did on the 2003 once.
So what kind of power supply and what kind of feeder processor would you use along with this?
I think we've still got it, actually. It was a Kato. It was a motor generator made by Kato.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a unit, 3 feet wide, 8 feet long, and 8 feet tall.
Wow.
I mean, it was pretty substantial.
Yeah, yeah.
It was not fully taxed to run this thing,
mm-hmm,
but it took two of them fully to run the full size Cray 2. And it basically was a motor and a generator. It took in 480 volt and produced 208 volt, 400 hertz.
Which is what the Cray's used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 208, 400 hertz came in directly in. And you controlled the power to the system just by enabling or disabling the motor generator.
So it didn't have a distribution cabinet like the Cray 1?
Well, it did. It had a thing called affectionately known as the pod. It was a power distribution unit, PDU,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and it controlled the fluorinert flow and it controlled the motor generator. And it had some big variacs to kind of fine-tune the voltage to the columns,
mm-hmm,
to the power supplies. And it was just really old-fashioned technology. And the big variacs would control the 208 volt going in.
A big blade switch to turn it on.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a blade switch, but it was actually a very small thing, because with the motor generator, all you had to do was enable the field winding on the generator part of it,
mm-hmm,
which really took very little current, just 10 or 15 amps at 50 volt.
Mm-hmm.
And when you enable the field, then it would start generating, and the voltage would slowly climb up. So it was actually a pretty slick power engineer.
And did you have some kind of a big deck system driving this, or?
No, this, you mean to like boot it and so forth?
To boot it and put the numbers in and get them out and kind of thing.
No, in the early days, in the early days there was a thing called HyperChannel,
mm-hmm,
which connected to a VAX, which was the only way to log in. And in later days, and this system saw both early and later days, they had a TCP stack running directly on the system. So you could...
Oh, you're kidding, really?
Yeah, so this machine was on the internet at one time.
This was actually on the internet?
Yeah. The IP address used to be sb.networkcs.com.
sb.networkcs.com. Yeah. SB being...
Well, we were naming our supercomputers SB, letter just for fun, and this A was the
oh, right.
Cray 1.
This is the Cray 1, and this was SD.
Yeah, and the four quad full size Cray 2 was SC.
This was SB.
Yep.
Wow, this is a great history here.
Yep, this was the full deal. And you're probably wondering why it's red.
Yeah, why is it red?
Why is it red? Because you could get it in any color you wanted.
As long as it was red.
No, you could get it in any color you wanted. And if you're willing to pay this many million for a computer, they'll produce the vinyl columns in any color. And there's something missing here. There's supposed to be some yellow inserts that go in here that cover up the power supplies.
Right. Oh, right. You do see that in the Cray 2.
And it was actually a gold color. It was maroon and gold was the school colors in the University of Minnesota.
Okay, so that's why.
That's why that portion is maroonish red.
Maroonish red.
And we're missing the yellow.
The
portion.
Gold plates in front of them.
And they just had some low-tech Velcro kind of holding them on.
Velcro, this is what I'm using for my garment design.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, it was just a kind of a plastic panel with four little legs that kind of went in here and here. And it just kind of sat in there.
So this, the nickname for this was SB?
That was the internet address name, yep.
Internet address. Did it have a familial name to it? Or?
No. That's what our customers would log into it. This is on wheels. Can we roll it out just a little bit?
Yeah, let's see if we can. Hold on.